Hello and welcome to the Ozone. I'm your host, Jeff Hazard, retired Sports Information Director of SUNY Oneonta, and also the Chair of the Athletic Hall of Fame Committee. And joining me on the show today is Chris Thornhill, class of 1993, who we will be inducting into our Athletic Hall of Fame on June 8th, 2024. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
First of all, on behalf of myself and the Hall of Fame Committee, congratulations on a well-deserved honor.
Well, thanks very much. I really appreciate it.
What does that feel like now that you're a Hall of Famer?
It's amazing. It's lacrosse is we stopped actually stopped playing. I played at Oneonta from 85 to 88, so it's been what 35 years since I
Yeah.
played there. It kind of feels like a lifetime achievement award in a way, because being 57 now, but I've always kept the game in my life, and it just means so much to me. Lacrosse means so much to me, and Oneonta State means so much to me, and the guys that I played with at the time mean a ton to me. We're still really tight, and it's just a great group of guys, hilariously funny people, and been blessed to still have them all in my life to this day. And that's really, to me, what it's been all about,
Right.
for me.
Yeah, going back to that time when you played, certainly, we did induct one of your teammates, Ed Ryder, a few years ago. And when you say funny, hilarious, that guy is a character. I mean, I loved him. He was amazing. He was great.
Yeah, he's a trip.
And of course,
I'm not wearing a red jacket. Don't
okay,
worry.
no red jacket and no Hawaiian shirt because he had the Hawaiian shirt.
No Hawaiian shirts. That's all Ed.
Yeah.
I love him.
But he, I mean, first words out of his mouth when, on the day of the induction, he's like, "You really need to get Chris Thornhill in the Hall of Fame." I mean, so he was one of your biggest supporters. And I know that when I, reached out to him to get your contact information, he was already getting ready to, send a congratulations and everything like that. He was so excited for you. I mean, what was it like playing with Ed? And certainly he says that you were the number one guy anyway, so.
Well, it was great playing with Ed, and we had a great relationship on the field. He was a classic crease attackman, where he was finishing, scoring a lot of goals, and I was more of a dodger, more of a point guard kind of a player. So we had a great relationship on the field. So I was always looking for Ed on the crease, and we connected for a lot of goals. But no, Ed was great, and there were a couple other guys too early on that were like coaches on the field, and Ed was one of those guys, and he did a lot for the program, not just on the field but off, and administratively, and helping Coach Lynch out with a lot of things. So Ed was great for sure.
So of course he those early years, because men's lacrosse, first season was 1980, so you were kind of in the beginning stages of a program that certainly, has had success over the years. And while you were there, you had some winning teams. And unfortunately, the SUNYAC kind of disbanded, so you didn't get a chance to play for a conference championship. But why don't you talk about some of those early years and how it meant to be, kind of at the groundbreaking of men's lacrosse?
Well, yeah, it was interesting for sure. I thought there were teams in the 70s. You said 1980 was the first year, but maybe it was club at that point. I'm
It
not sure.
was. It was
Maybe
club up until
Okay.
1979, and then they elevated in 1980.
Interesting. So 80 was the first real NCAA season. Nice. That's great to hear. But yeah, it was great. It was still very much a grassroots effort for sure. When I came in, I think, my first season was spring of 85. I think we had 13 or 14 guys on the team. It's amazing. You see some of these rosters now, teams of 50, 60 guys. Yeah, like if we had injuries or something, we felt it. It was tough. So, and it was tough on our midfielders that were getting up and down the field, playing offense, defense, and doing a lot of running. But it was a great group. I remember Larry, when I first came in, Larry Masullo was the captain, Long Island guy from Nassau County. Just a great guy. We used to call him Father Masullo because he reminded us of like a Catholic priest kind of a guy out of central casting, and we were running around being knuckleheads. He was a guy that was kind of keeping us all together back then. But just a fantastic guy. I remember him. I remember Ralph Giordano was another really good midfielder back then when I first started out. Steve Rosenzweig, he graduated, I think, 86. So he would have been a junior, but another guy that was just a mentor and took a skinny, shy 17-year-old kid when I first got there and really took me under their wings and showed me the ropes and were really mentors to me and just great guys. And Steve was another guy who was like a coach on the field and really helped organize our defense for sure.
So campus has changed a lot since then. I mean, we've got all these turf fields and these buildings that weren't available
Yeah.
to you and when you were here. I mean, what was the campus like, back at that time?
Yeah, it was very different. I mean, we got to visit a couple times during COVID. We have a little cottage up in Finger Lakes, so we were able to stop in Oneonta a couple times on the way. And yeah, it's been some great upgrades. They've upgraded a lot of the dorms and a lot of the buildings, and that athletic center is just tremendous, and the turf field is yeah, we didn't quite have those amenities at the time. We played in the mud, and that soccer lacrosse field was muddy, and but even they put a bubble. We had an air bubble that was put in, I guess, my junior year, kind of where that field house is now. So that was really sort of a game changer for us back then. It wasn't anything fancy, but it gave us a place where we could practice in the winter and we could scrimmage full field. We actually had other teams come in. I remember we scrimmaged Herkimer Community. They were a JUCO power at that time, so they would come down and scrimmage us over the winter. So that was a lot of fun. But yeah, we used to play up in Job Corps. We used to run in the hills up. Our pregame runs were or pre-practice runs were up. Past Job Corps, up on the up the road behind campus, north of campus there. So yeah, very, very different now.
Those trails are
Kids
still
have
there.
it pretty good.
Although they still, as they still want more.
Yeah, we really just had the main I guess it was the main
Yep,
gym, I
Chase
guess, where
Gym.
they yeah the Chase. Yeah, that was really all we had.
The campus, talk a little bit about your academics, professors. I mean, what kind of, what'd you get out of that and anything that maybe helped you along the way?
Well, definitely, I ended up with a sociology degree. I was actually didn't graduate till 93, so I was a little behind academically. Struggled a little bit my senior year. I was a little bit too devoted to lacrosse at the time and some other things that were going on personally. But I'm very grateful to SUNY Oneonta for really giving me a second chance academically. It was one point I was thinking about transferring credits and going somewhere else to finish, and was glad I didn't do that. I had the opportunity to come back in 93 for a year and coached. It was an assistant coach with Coach Lynch for a season, and Coach Tim Boyle, who's now the head coach at Wingate, the Wingate Bulldogs now. We're very proud of his coaching career too. But yeah, very so when I went back, it was a very different ball game. I had learned some lessons and got my act together and made the dean's list 2 semesters in a row and graduated with a degree in sociology in 93. But
And
it was a great I had a lot of psych credits. I loved my time there. A lot of great professors for sure.
But you and you're successful. Why don't you talk a little bit about your professional life? I mean, you certainly have done very well. A lot of people might say, if you struggle academically, but like you said, it kind of catapulted you to what you're doing now. And why don't you talk a little bit about what you're doing now?
Yeah, it really did. I've been in the glass industry since 1995. So in 94, I actually moved to Charleston, South Carolina, and I was living with a buddy of mine and just kind of went down there. After I graduated from Oneonta, I went down there just kind of to see. Didn't have a job lined up. I just basically had a buddy there and a place to stay out by the beach, you know. So I started playing ball down there, and I was playing for the Charleston Hurricanes, but I was working outdoors, and it got to be June and it started getting hot, and I was like, I don't know, guys, I think I'm thinking about moving back to New York, because I couldn't find a decent job. It was taking me a while. And one of the guys on the team said, hey, he worked for this glass company, and he said, hey, we're interviewing, we have an opening. So that's how I got into the glass business, was really through the lacrosse team. So it's just another example of lacrosse being, you know, such a great thing in my life. But yeah, I got in the glass business down there. Worked for this terrific company, Coastal Glass Distributors, and the South was just growing so fast at that point. And we, you know, I went from, you know, I was basically a shift supervisor to production manager. We went from one shift to three shifts. We went like all in with on the manufacturing side. So I learned a lot really fast. Was working 14, 15-hour days. It was crazy, but really learned a lot. And then, you know, that experience down in Charleston, my wife and I actually, my wife who I met in Oneonta, we had dated for a while, and then we split up for a while. We actually had gotten back together while I was living down south, and then she ended up coming down south, and she got her master's in teaching at the University of Charleston. But we that experience at Coastal Glass brought us back. It got to be 2001, and we were talking about moving back to New York, and had an opportunity to move back. I worked for Benheim Glass. They had an opening, basically doing a whole manufacturing startup like I did in Charleston. So it was really just serendipitous the way it all worked out. We were just talking about moving back when a headhunter called from that company that was in North Jersey, and that's what brought us back. So I was with Benheim Glass for about 12 years, and now I've been with Galaxy Glass for about the same amount of time, about 12 years. So I've only had three different jobs in the last, 30 years, essentially. But all in the glass business, and it's been a great run. It's really, you know, working. I call on architects and designers, so I'm basically in the New York market. So I'm in New York City a lot, and I'm in Washington D.C. I was just down there this week for 3 days. So those are my two big markets where I'm calling on architects and designers and working on a lot of projects, and just been fortunate to make a good career of it, for sure.
Yeah, now you did mention, tell us some of the bigger projects. You said you worked on the Freedom Tower and like those.
We did, yeah. We do all sorts of decorative glass. So it's not like we're doing the skins of the buildings, or, you know, it's not like we've got all the exterior glass or the stuff you see from the street. But you know, we've done a lot of prestigious New York projects. We've got some glass in the Freedom Tower, and some stair rails, and the Empire State Building. I'm working on a project there right now. We did all the glass in the elevator cabs at one of the towers at Hudson Yards, as well as all the glass in the cabs at One Vanderbilt, which is just a massive building that just went up with KPF Architects right in New York. So, yeah, I've just been very, very fortunate to be able to, you know, be able to call on some of these larger firms that are working on big, interesting, prestigious projects. So it's just cool to have some of those. You know, some of those New York landmarks. I'm actually working on something now at the Carnegie Hall Tower. So hopefully that'll be the next New York spot. But yeah, a lot of it is not as exciting as that. But we've been lucky to have some of the bigger jobs I've worked on in my careers have been like I said, like the elevator cabs and some of these really big towers that have gone up in New York. So yeah, it's fun.
I sounds like it. It's just a different kind of a job. I mean, you know, again, over the 20 some odd years, I don't think we've had anybody in the glass business, which is kind of unusual, right?
Yeah. Well, I started out in manufacturing and production, and then I got into sales. You know, when my kids were young, I have a daughter, Grace, who's now 19. My son, Dylan, is 17. But when they were little, I just couldn't be the guy that was at the plant at 7 a.m. and, you know, anymore. Just the schedule wouldn't allow it. So, got into sales, and that's been a good thing. So, yeah.
What are some of your, I don't know, I maybe greatest memories of Oneonta lacrosse, maybe some memorable games, certainly. Just to let everybody know, I mean, you graduated as the all-time leading scorer, and it took over a decade to break that. Well, actually, no, because you're 88, so it took almost 15 years, for someone to break it, because it wasn't broken until, geez, I think the second, right before I got there in 99, so 97. So yeah, so about a dozen years, which is a long time.
Interesting.
So that was number one. You certainly are, you still hold the single game record for points, 14 points in a game, which is, that's a lot of points. You're still in the top five career points, which again is quite an accomplishment, seeing some of the players we've had over the last, since you graduated, we've had some pretty good players come through.
Right.
So, I mean, what does that mean to you to be able to still be in those spots, even though, time has passed?
Well, it feels good. I mean, it's definitely something that I take pride in, and like I said, I was more of a point guard kind of a player. So, a lot of my points came via assists. I was setting up my teammates. So, that really came naturally to me. But as I got to like junior year playing with Ed, and junior year was really when I felt like I started to figure out how to attack defenses better and really be more aggressive off the dodge and then draw double teams and get the defense sliding and create offense a little bit better. But if my numbers went up, like I think I had more points my senior year than I did my freshman and sophomore year combined. But if those points went up, it's because we had better teams. That's one thing I'm proud of, is that we got better every year that I was there. We improved, our record improved a little bit each year. So that was that meant a lot to me. I'm definitely proud of that. But I didn't know I was like points record. I really didn't even know. I know they had some really good teams in the 90s too,
Yeah, that
but
late
it's a little tough
90s.
to compare because we played 12 games. Like my junior and senior year, we played 12 games a year. Now they play 17, 18
Yeah,
games
they
a week. So
do.
it's kind of hard, but I think if you break it down to like average points, I think I still have like the single season record for average points per season or
Your
something
points
like
per
that.
game
So.
and assists per game are certainly, up at the top or whatever. And I mean, that's what I mean. A lot of times that's kind of the equalizer. When we talk about other sports like basketball, somebody might have, like 1500 points, but they might have played 10 or 15 less games than somebody else. So the points per game average certainly is, I think, says a little bit more, because it means you were more productive in a shorter amount of time, with less games.
That's true. Yeah, but I think we also, like I said, we only had so many guys too. So, like, unless I got a penalty, I didn't come out of the game for 4 years. You know what I mean? So when later on, I would think some of those really good teams, if they had a big lead, they might be taking the starters out too. Maybe they're only playing a, you know, two quarters or two and a half quarters or something. But no, definitely proud of it. Like I 88, we really had it. There were a lot of good guys that were kind of class of 89 that were really coming into their own in 87, and then even more so in 88. So like 87, our offense really started to click with Ed and some other guys scoring goals, but we had maybe three or four guys that were really legitimate scoring threats. Like we got to 88, we had maybe seven or eight guys that were consistently scoring goals. So it would just change our offense. It was less one-dimensional and more of a multifaceted sharing the ball movement, transition kind of an offense. And our defense was really good. Kevin Kelly was our co-captain, played with him all 4 years. He's a guy definitely would have been all conference first team in 88 if there was a conference then. He was phenomenal. Him and I were co-MVPs actually at the end of 88, which was, I remember coach, we had a little banquet or something at the end of the year, and coach, had to pick an MVP, and he said, "I can't pick among these two guys." He's like, "I just can't." And he got some flack for it. I think the AD or somebody was not happy with him And he was like, "I'm sorry, guys, I'm doing it. Like these guys are both. I cannot pick one over the other." That's how close we were. And we came in together as freshmen, and we battled every day in practice. We went at it. We made each other better. So that was a great relationship. And he's a guy that would definitely, I think, warrant consideration for the Hall of Fame for sure. Kevin Kelly, he
Kevin
was a
Kelly.
four, certainly a 4-year starter. And they don't have stats, that many
I
stats for
know, I
defensive
know.
guys. It's hard. It's just hard. You don't have the goals, the assists, all those things you can add up. But
Right.
he was a difference maker and a really talented talented guy for sure.
Okay, well, I will definitely write that name down.
Yeah,
You talked a little bit about Coach Lynch. Certainly you guys, I mean, to this day, still talk to him and reach out to him, and you love to see him. And are we going to see the cutout of Coach Lynch at the on the stage? Is
I'm
something?
sure. I'm sure we will. I'm
Yeah,
sure that'll be brought
travels
back.
everywhere. It's been all over the world. What was it like to play? What was it like to play for Coach Lynch?
It was great. And he didn't have an extensive lacrosse background when he took over the program. But he did a great job keeping it going and keeping us all motivated and organized. And he was a real mentor and did a lot for all of us on and off the field. He really did a lot for us. And it was always good to stop in his office and sit and talk to him. And it was great to see him at Ed's thing in 2018. And we're looking forward to seeing him in June. He's just a wonderful, wonderful guy.
And that's kind of, those older coaches, I mean, we, Gar Stam and those guys, and
Yeah.
John Extell, and kind of those old school guys, they held you accountable, but yet they were fair.
Right.
I mean, they wanted to win, sure, and they tried to do, treated you guys like athletes, and mentored you, and it's great that you still have relationships with these guys. I mean, I don't know how many of the players that play now really are. I don't think it's the same atmosphere. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't know if they have that same relationship.
Yeah, I don't know, but we were a tight group for sure.
Maybe as we move to the end here, I mean, is there anybody, other people you want to thank, or maybe talk about any special moments during your 4 years, games, anything like that?
Well, the most of the game, like on field stuff, 88 was a really fun year. I mean, that we came in fired up. Like I said, those class of 89 guys had really come into their own. So I think the first game of the year was that 14-point game against Merchant Marine Academy. I mean, we came out of that, game one, we didn't really know what we had. We're going into the season, and you didn't have the scouting you had today. You don't really know the caliber of your opponents, but we came out, shot out of a cannon that game one. And we kept it rolling pretty good. We had some real highlights that year. My favorite was beating Geneseo at Geneseo as a senior. Well, I'd lost to them three years in a row, and I had friends from high school on that team, so it was tough those first three losses. But finally beating Geneseo was a real highlight for me. Beating them at their place, definitely a highlight for sure. We had a great win against University of Rochester early on in overtime. So that was a lot of fun. But we beat every SUNY team that we played that year. But notably, we didn't have Cortland on the schedule. We no notably we didn't play Cortland, but we beat every SUNY team that we played, and we were kind of humming along and coming toward the end of the season, and we were 6-3, I think, and we were talking playoffs, and we played the University of Albany, and we beat them badly. I think we put 23 goals on the board that day, but we had three key injuries. Our starting faceoff middie, Steve Schwartz, wrecked his knee. Two other starters, broken collarbones. So we just didn't have the depth, to recover from that. We lost our last two games, but we ended up at 7-5. And all in all, we accomplished a lot that year. So 88 was really a lot of fun. But there's a lot of people I want to thank. I don't know how
Yep.
much time we have. It's
No, it yeah, I mean,
you
go
know,
ahead. We're good.
like I said, you know, this game's been in my life, you know, since I was 12 years old for the last
Wow.
45 years. But my, you know, my family's definitely been the source of all my you know, team attitude and team orientation. You know, they were my dad was my first athletic hero. You know, he was a football, baseball guy, classic guy. Grew up on the east end of Long Island out in Greenport. So he's going to be my, him and my mom are still in the house that
Wow.
they bought in 1959 in Port Jeff Station. So I was raised in Port Jeff Station, and
Wow.
my folks thankfully are still in that house. And we have, there were five of us. I was the youngest of five, so great family. My older sister Judy, brothers Gary and Dave, and my sister Gail. My sister Gail might be the best athlete in the family. She's a marathoner,
Oh.
running marathons. But they were just an inspiration to me from day one, and my brothers, you know, always supported me in my athletics, and my sisters were just the best. And so, you know, that was really where it all started. You know, my dad was a first responder and, you know, commissioner and fire chief of our town, and you know, my mom was on the EMT. So it was really a very community-based upbringing. And you know, so that was a great you know, just a great learning experience, sure. Great family. Very, very blessed to have grown up in a tight-knit family, you know. So yeah, my brother-in-law Smitty was one of the first All-Americans of my high school. So Jamie Smith, he was graduated from Conestoga in 81, so I graduated in 84. But he was a real inspiration to me and a lot of kids that were coming up through Conestoga at the time. He was one of the first All-Americans in lacrosse. Went on to Cornell, where he was captain and all Ivy, and had a great career at Cornell that ended, I guess, 84. So Jamie Smith was for sure one of the, you know, one of my, you know, it's easy to stay humble and just keep working on your game when you know, you're not even the best player in your family. So, he was, and it really, he really inspired, showed a lot of kids in my high school from my generation that, hey, you can do something with this game. You can, it can be a vehicle in your life, and it can take you to the school you want to go to and beyond. So, he was a real inspiration. Played for a great high school program. Ken Reese was our coach back then, legendary lacrosse coach on Long Island. So yeah, that was the best. And then, you know, my teammates in Oneonta, you know, Lou Capone, I mentioned Kevin Kelly. Lou Capone was a 4-year starter, was our goalie from I played with him 3 years, 85. He graduated in 87. He was 87 with Ed. But he was, you know, top 10 country in save percentages senior year, first team all conference, because we still had Esuniac in 87. And just a, you know, real leader. He's the guy that we rallied around, and still, you know, my best friend to this day. So he's a guy I want to thank. I'll never forget coming out of the locker room, first practice, you know, still nervous, you know, don't really know anybody. And Lou and Gary Fliznik were waiting for me outside the locker room and grabbed me and put me in a headlock, and we were off, and that was it. I had a, you know, I had a group there, and that's what lacrosse has always been for me. It's always been a wonderful way to get me in the room with some of the best people I've ever met, you know. So it's been a great ride.
Well, we certainly again, it's well overdue, and like you said, the records weren't the best, but we're certainly trying to dig, and guys like Ed Ryder are helping us, and it just helps to have people like that promote and advocate for players and athletes who deserve to be in our Hall of Fame, and certainly you are one of them. That again, Ed, Chris Thornhill should be here, not me. I'm saying, so not that,
Well, that's
not
very
that,
nice of him to say. You know, like I said, if I'm being considered, you know, for this, it's because of the guys I played with. You know, it's, we all know that we're not, you know, I'm not going into the Hall of Fame without those guys. Without the, I mean, they were just just great. And knowing the sport like I do, you're not scoring goals unless somebody made a save at the other end, somebody came up with a hard ground ball, somebody played tough defense, transitioned it all the way up the field, just very thankful to have played with just a great group of guys for certain.
Well, we certainly do look forward to, congratulations once again. We look forward to seeing you and your entire family on June 8th for your induction. And again, it'll be great to meet you in person, and certainly again, just congratulations on behalf of the committee and myself. It's just a great honor, and we're happy for you.
Thank you so much. I'm really grateful, and just that's the word that keeps coming to mind, is I'm just grateful to Oneonta State and the committee for considering me and honoring me in this way. Just nice to be remembered in this way after all this time. A lot of us guys from the 80s, we kind of thought we were forgotten about, and it's nice to know that that we're going to be remembered in this way, and just really blessed to have had the experiences we had there, and very blessed to still have the game in my life day to day. So it's been a great ride for sure.
Well, we want to thank you, once again for joining us in the Ozone, and certainly we just want to make sure that you're do watch the stream of the Hall of Fame ceremony on June 8th, 2024. We hope you'll join us next time in the Ozone.